Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790, the number you call. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. That's 266-IVOB. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. That's one word, BRASSTACKS at starcomnetwork.net. One word. John Stout is our technical operator producer. Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 this afternoon with our usual breaks. We regional roundup, tracking the latest network news from Flow, or News Major, the lunchtime edition. Those are the breaks that you'd have during the course of the program. It's a voting day in the United States on a Thursday. The good people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines will go to the polls. And next week, Wednesday, the good folk in St. George North will join them election month in and around the region. The challenges associated with the COVID-19 continues to be a challenge, especially for islands that depend on tourism. We've felt the effects of lockdown, protracted periods of hotel closures. We're supposed to have a cruise ship coming in with persons who should be going back out of the island, but at least the cruise side of things testing the waters, if you would pardon the pun. And of course, we see that there are plans for tighter rules for people coming into the country. There continues to be some concern about whether or not those in quarantine are in fact quarantined, or whether people are slipping out and walking about. What I find interesting is when persons send letters to the press or put messages on social media saying that the place where I work, people are not quarantining properly, they're leaving and walking around. I would suggest, rather than just throwing these items out into the air and hoping they fall on the right ears, I would suggest that you actually make a note. At 10:15 on Tuesday, guests in room XYZ who should be quarantined left the property in car ABC, returned at such and such a time. That way, if the matter is to be investigated, you have time, you have place, you have names and numbers, and it can be traced. To simply say that someone who should be quarantined went out or went walking about or left is too widespread a comment for it to be traced and dealt with. Just my feeling. The last time I was on, I did say that, you know, there are people who a little timid about doing things like that because I guess they fear repercussions. But you're protecting yourself and you're protecting your loved ones, you're protecting the nation. So if you know it's happening, time, date, place, easier for those who have the power to track to do so. A thought. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You for having me on. I'm calling to give my views. There was a publication in The Nation on the community section regarding a company that needs to be relocated. I am actually very happy to see the publication within the newspaper because for years, people within this facility, within the location of Princess Royal Avenue, have suffered in silence, huh? This company has tremendous, it caused people to relocate, they affect traffic flow, and the proprietor of the establishment, I'm seeing that he said the lady keeps, you know, being abusive language and stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation where I had an encounter with him, right? Approach him on a reasonable note, and he refused to do anything. This situation has been going on from 2012. And prior to that, he was still establishing. He expanded the business. He added on manufacturing onto the property. He extended. On his extension, he obviously manufactures spices. Spices release essential oils. And when essential oils emittents are in the environment, whatever surface it lands on, it stays for a very long time. Huh? People within the area has gotten asthma attacks, has been staples at accident emergency, the asthma bay. You have had people having to close their windows and stuff like that, especially when he's doing serious spices. Now, mind you, he does from turpentine, black pepper, paprika, name the spice, he manufactures it within this residential area, huh? For years, people have been trying to sign petitions, go to ministers, etc. And I really hope that my voice helps the people on Princess Royal Street to get more relief, because it has been, for myself, very, very disturbing to know that he will, it's to the point where sometimes when he used to be grinding on the evening, he will wet crocus bags and put on his back windows to minimize emittance from him dusting and cleaning his equipment, huh?
No.
Mind you, I oblige Mr. Pilgrim, yeah? But on the other hand, he has people who uses his heavy-duty machinery. They are hearing impaired. He has a huge section of persons who are differently able. Mm-hmm. So the issues that he will have, that a regular person, I should say, quote-unquote, will have within functioning his capacity, the people who are differently able will not be affected, because you have differently able people who will use the heavy machinery. They don't hear. They're not able to hear when they're dusting out the bags from the sack that is at his machine. It's at the back of the entrance of somebody else's property, which is the lady that made the complaint.
No, but hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Because there are a couple of things that I want to just feel you out on. The first one is, these petitions have been signed and given to the National Housing?
National Housing, the minister, mm-hmm. and it even went to Environment and Health.
What's been the response?
The response from Environment and Health, they sent a... Because I also made a complaint along with the lady that did the petition as well. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
They sent a letter, they did a site visit, and they notified me that he is supposed to do X, Y, and Z. That happened for a week.
Did it help?
It did not help.
Okay. Did you tell them so?
I did, in a very polite manner, and it was disclosed, because it was like I'm always making a fuss about stuff. You don't have to inhale this stuff. You're not affected by this stuff. You have people that will... If I have people coming by me, they can't come because they have respiratory issues. They start to wheeze and they have to leave.
Okay.
I'm in my home. You're making a huge manufacturing profit in a residential area.
Right. That's the other thing that was coming to the question of having a business in a residential area.
And mind you, it started as a coffee shop, huh? A very small establishment that used to distribute. Now he has gone into the manufacturing element.
Okay. Which must have been done, hopefully, with permission from someone or somewhere. No, go ahead.
The thing is that, yes, he has purchased the unit, because obviously, units within certain housing areas were put up for sale, and he has purchased this unit every since. Mm-hmm. And they would say, like, in the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it very clear to everyone, he has purchased this unit and no one can move him.
Right, okay. Right? Now, again. Mm-hmm. You see, what I'm trying to do is trace where the responsibility for fixing the issue lies. And it's the way
right.
I see
and
it from where...
And that's why I said I will call, because I think it's a really serious issue that has been going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but ma'am. You see... I saw this story in the newspaper, and I hear your plea on air. My thing is trying to direct it in the place where I think it should be, or where I think you can get assistance. I don't think you can get assistance by tossing it in the air, as I said about another issue earlier. No, if the issue is one of a business manufacturing business in a residential area,
yes,
then either town planning or one of those ministries should be able to look at the question of what type of business can you operate in a residential area. So for example, if you're a dressmaker, you may be able to operate in a residential area because, you know, unless you're sewing at 1 o'clock in the morning and your machine making a lot of noise and your neighbors complaining, you should be able to, you know, make a few uniforms at home. If, however, what you're doing is, let's say, spray painting cars, spray paint will cause problems, right? Now, you're having problems with someone who's manufacturing spices. Now, the reason why I pulled you up when you talked about the hearing impaired people won't hear what the noise of dust in the machines, or
no,
they wouldn't hear your complaints.
No, they don't. So when they're dusting the machines, the emittance is to the entrance of the side of a property because it's sandwiched.
Does it make noise? That's what I was getting.
Yes, it does.
Okay,
it
and
does.
They don't hear the noise, right?
And they wouldn't hear the noise.
Okay,
no.
Great. Okay, gotcha. Now, I don't have a problem with people employing differently abled people.
Which
I am happy that differently
really
abled people.
I
noticed you said so, right.
I am happy that he does because
I understand
know everybody
that.
Has...
Yeah, they need everyone needs to make a living, earn a
correct.
Living. However, my challenge when I read the story and listening to you is this. Unless you petition the right people, it is going to be... I own this, you own that, it's not affecting me, it shouldn't affect you. I doing my thing, you do your thing. I think town planning, they're the people who are responsible for what you can or cannot do in and around certain areas. There are laws governing the type of development you can have. There must be something either in the National Housing Corporation, town planning that says what you can and cannot do in a residential area. And I think there needs to be enforcement one way or the other. And by one way or the other, I mean if the operation has to be transferred to, I don't know, an industrial estate and return residences to what they are, then that needs to be done.
Right.
If the government wants to help in the moving, if they will compensate, fine. But I do not think that neighbors having that type of conflict in a small area is
correct.
Conducive to neighborly living. And
it's
from
true.
What I read and what I hear, this is a situation that's ripe for conflict.
Yeah, and
of the worst kind.
To be sad and unfortunate, it has been going on so long, I guess.
That's the
frustration
that's the worry.
Of the neighbors, yeah, they just, you know, expressing themselves in whichever way they see comfortable.
Shouldn't do it.
And I don't think it needs to be a hostile environment.
Agreed.
You know?
It can't
so
be good.
I hear
somewhere in the background a chair by you, so that can't be good either. I got good ears.
She's camp.
No. You see, here's the thing. Ma'am, I want to tell you this, okay? Because I don't think it's something we appreciate as adults. Perhaps there's a child in me somewhere still. Children live off of emotion. The first thing they learn is emotion. You see, when your voice started to get a little bit anxious, the little voice behind you started getting anxious too.
She was like,
because
mommy,
she's she is feeling your tension.
And I can tell you, it's a very it's so upsetting.
And you upset her when you do it. So which is why I'm saying, you know, it is not conducive to neighborliness. Because when you're anxious or when someone has an asthma attack, the child is going to feel the tension. They're going to feel the anxiety, the animosity. Whatever is going on there is going to go into the little psyche.
Imagine that times 100. And
I don't
constantly,
want to.
Whether or not if you could assist any situation, you have constant tension within your environment. It is overwhelming.
Yeah. Ma'am, I feel the concern because, as I said, I read the article
and
I hear it again.
And I really hope that there's some sort of resolve to it.
I hope so, too.
So happy to see it published. And I thank you for having me.
Pleasure. The same petition needs to be duplicated and handed to town planning and tell them, look, let's try and fix this one way or the other. Thank you very much, ma'am. And I hope you get some relief soon. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Sir Dennis.
Yes, sir.
No, I going down your lane this morning.
Okay.
I didn't want you know to tell me you know where you coming from.
No, I ain't saying nothing this morning.
I hope. No. Now, listen. I want to talk about tourism. And I can ask you the first question. After that, you don't got to reply. You just listen. When the tourists come to Barbados, what do they really come for?
They come to experience Barbados.
Yes. Now, I can give you an idea of a tour, because I usually work from hotel. But I heard you all the time, you this question, why people would stop at that big building. Well, I would tell you, it is alleged that Rihanna and Simon Cowell got some connections in that. That was said, they don't know.
They supposedly own condos there.
Right. So when you show them, because Rihanna is a big thing, a big person. So whenever it measures Rihanna and Simon Cowell, they're latest, they just call it a mansion. I give you my experience. Now, I leave from that building and I come up to South Spring Garden. All the rest is just buildings like your favorite place down in Paradise. And you hit the Spring Garden Highway. Then they get to Spring Garden Highway. I usually show them where you get your monkey rum from. Now, after that, I would travel through what would be Rihanna Drive. And their reply to me would be that taxi drivers passed there with them, but they only showed them where the house is, but they never took them to the house. So I would take them to the house. And from the time to see the house, especially the younger ones, would jump out and take pictures, go by the steps, and such. So that is something that they would tell me they have that to take back home. Now I would travel down Kensington by Kensington and show them where we keep our test cricket. And especially those people from Manchester that who are interested in cricket, they're glad to see Kensington and the Sir Gary Sobers Monument. Now one of the things about that is when I hit Kensington and I tell them that here is Holborn, which I did my British history, I would let them know that just as like in England, we have Holborn down here. Now, when I get up to Bridgetown, well, the first thing I show them the local market, and I put them on to Broad Street, except that there's one main street. Now, here it is. Now, this is where my problem comes. When we hit into Trafalgar Square, they get out, they would take a picture of Nelson. They would take a picture of Parliament Building. They look around the Corinage. And then they would, most of the time, they'd ask, when did we got independence? After asking me that question, I traveled from and come across the bridge. And as much as people talk about that building, most of them were fascinated about the architecture of the National Insurance Building. Now, after that, it is the fire service, and they would take a picture of the fire service. Then I would drive them right around and come into Independence Square and let them see the monument, and they would go and read the inscription on the monument of Elbar. And some would come back and say, well, he did a lot. He did a lot. He's a good man. But from there now, it's on my way to Bay Street. Now, first, there's no more Nelson. There's no more Nelson. There's no more National Insurance Building. There's no more fire station. Now, I'm heading now to Bay Street. Then, so when I get up to, before I get into Bay Street proper, the ministerial building that I understand is going to be knocked down, I will slow down. I tell them this is where the prime minister function for many ministers. Now, that sooner or later, that will be no more. Now, I will travel up by and turn where George Washington House is. When I get into by George Washington House, I have three things I can show them. The George Washington House, the garrison Savannah and the regiment, the building which we were called the main place to protect the country in the colonial rule. And they understand those red buildings that you said you live around there. Then from there, I can travel to St. George. And they will explain to them about the signal station that sent back the signals back down to the regiment. But that is enough that I want to say. What I am saying is if you are dealing with tourism, I have nothing to show the people. What are we going to do? You think the tourists can come here just to go in a hotel and sit down and sleep? If you take down all of these things, you take down Nelson, you take down the National Insurance Building, you take down the fire station, and you're going to take down the ministerial building, what are the replacements, Dennis?
Let me say this to you, okay? A country will always have landmarks. A country will build new landmarks. They will destroy some old landmarks, sadly. They will deface other things that we hold dearly, and another generation will find other things to talk about. You started by talking about that building that I call a big, ugly slab of stone with gates in front of it that you tell me you stopped there because Rihanna and Simon Cowell big. That was not there 20 years ago. It was not there 15 years ago. The coach house across the road was, is no longer there. Sandy Lane has changed its look over the years. It is still there. The monument in Old Town was not always there, but it is there now. There is a monument around the garrison. There is the cenotaph in Bridgetown. There is the arc over the bridge that you didn't mention. There's the empire that still stands. Harry's Nitri, the man who owned or owns CNN, when we were in Las Vegas and we said we were from Barbados, the first thing he said was, oh, Harry's, is that still around? And Vic Fernandes gave one of his big loud laughters, right? He asked about Nelson. He asked about Rihanna House. Well, it wasn't up then. He asked about Harry's. Harry's Nitri ain't there no more. The point that I'm making, sir, is that as someone who takes people around, you will have something else to show them and something else to talk about. For example, Bulkley Sugar Factory, that I think is a staple in the... You could show them the various sugar factories in Barbados. You could show other things. Sam Lord's Castle ain't no more. Sam Lord's Castle was a big part of Island Tour when I was in the hotel industry years ago. So Barbados will change. Are there places that I think of fondly? You mentioned the garrison, yeah. If they tore those red buildings down, I would feel it. I really would, because I spent a lot of my youth and childhood running about there. I could remember the names, the faces, strip poker and spin the bottle with people whose names I can't call right now because they're respectable citizens with children and grandchildren. But then we were young people playing the fool. Sir, it will change. Will I agree with all the change? Will you agree with all the change? No. But it can change. So as somebody who shows people the island, you'll have to develop a new look of Barbados. St. Lawrence Gap didn't always look that way. Accra didn't always look that way. And it will change again because they plan to build things on the other side of the road. Chaffetz going up all over the place was not there 30 years ago. I mean, look, an area that I remember dearly, driving through St. Thomas to find Bridgefield to look for a certain young lady, right? Cane on both sides of the road. If I drive to Bridgefield, I can't even find one piece of cane, not even lying down by the side of the road. You know, going through layers. Completely different. Today, you know, I've seen concrete and buildings going up all over the place. So it can change. It can change.
How are
you going to deal with the change? I don't know.
All I was talking about is what
we... I know. What traditionally you did.
Come here. Yeah. Sometimes when they come here, and this was strange to people who do not know. And
correct.
I obviously...
Correct.
I would like some of the taxi drivers to get a little background that they could explain.
Correct.
Sometimes I drive tourists and they say, man, I drove to that as a taxi driver. He even opened his mouth and say anything. So, let me, you know what to say. Can't say anything.
But look, let me say this to you as well. Bermuda, I always say Bermuda is about the closest place to a police state that I could think of. But in Bermuda, you have to pass a test before, as a taxi driver, you have to pass a test before you take people on island tour, you know. You're certified to take people on island tour. If you don't pass that test and be certified, you could only drive the people around the town.
I'm going to finish now, and I'm going to get started to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I live very close to Harrison's Cave.
Right.
Now, when they take people to Harrison's Cave, they come back and say, this place is beautiful. Have you been down in there before? My answer to them is that I live around here. Uh-huh. I've never been in the cave in my life. I don't like going underground now over the year.
There you go.
So I can't tell them
what it looked like.
Because if they went, they ask me where this thing is and where the next
thing
is. I don't know. All I just tell them is that I live
around here. You live around here.
But the point now that I'm going to tell you, when you hear people talk about green monkeys,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I pick up those people to take them on tour, they're so well up.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind going these places, but the little children
mm-hmm.
want to see the green monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And these monkeys are supposed to be fed at wildlife at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to be there at 2. So these are things that people don't understand in the system. You got to know and you got to deal with those people and try your best to introduce them. You will be surprised to know that when I show them a breadfruit, some of them, not all, just show them a breadfruit. Mm-hmm. They want to know how you disease it.
Correct.
But
sir, look, sir, again, having worked in the industry for a while, I can tell you a lot of the things we take for granted, visitors are fascinated by it. I'll give you the classic one that I used to use all the time, a soursop, right? We used to have Bajan tasting on Wednesdays, and we would introduce our guests to coconut bread and sugar cakes and soursop drink. And people used to say, soursop? So yeah, like me. Got an ugly name, but when you taste it, you just go, not bad. But is it sour? No, it's not. You know, they had never seen a soursop. Now, somebody sent me a picture of one that cost almost $80, and I asked them if, you know, it's a hotel room for the night with guests. Right? It was in a supermarket. But it's our soap. I remember as a youngster having to behave well for a whole week so I could get soursop ice cream on a Sunday. You know, that you put in the can and you churn with the ice and the salt and thing, and you make a homemade ice cream out of soursop. No, that's an experience as a child. I remember their guests, people who come to Barbados who've never heard of a soursop, never seen it, they don't know. Bread nut. What Trinidadians call shatain. I asked once on if they had any trees in Barbados because I hadn't seen any. A listener sent me bread nut. Shatain, as Trinidadians call it, immortalized in a song by Sparrow's School Days. Big Belly Arthur eats shatain parata to be the most musical farter. He said he could play anything from God Save the King to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. If you've never had bread nut, if you don't know what shatain is, you would not understand the song. The point I am making is the history of a people has to be told in song, has to be told by drivers like yourself, people employed in the industry, and people like me on the radio that like to talk a lot of foolishness. Because the history of a country is not only in the buildings and the names of the street, it is interacting with the people. So the people who come to Barbados who never had, call it by the various names, or if they go through the islands, Skinup, Chinette, Aki, depending on which island you're in, is the same thing. Those are the things that people remember, not what the National Insurance Building looked like. Trust me on that one. They may take a picture of it, but they will remember you showing them a breadfruit or a green monkey. You just got to learn what they want. Your WhatsApp message said, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you? I visited St. Kitts about 2 years ago on a cruise ship. Spoke with some taxi drivers who said they have to take two exams before acquiring a taxi license. exam is a driving test and a physical exam. The other is a written test about the country. Yeah. Yep. Some people take their history and their visitors and the business seriously. Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Ellis?
No, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, mm-hmm. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, thank you. And you?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mr. Johnson,
mm-hmm.
I called yesterday morning about 8 o'clock. A burst pipe in Hillaby Hill. Mr. Johnson, if you was to see the water, over 100,000 gallons of water have been running down this hill. Down here is like a flood. You know a flood? All the water in the road, it has all the road break up. It has, I have a path to come up to my house and that crack all the sidewalk. This water has been running from 8 o'clock yesterday morning the whole night until now. And the waterworks would not come and look. People in Turnall don't have water. People in Greg Farm don't have water. And if you see the water here that wasting, like a flood, then I would like CBC to come and take these pictures.
Ma'am, I could only hope that they have heard you again and that they understand that the precious resource that you say is flowing down the hill needs to be channeled in the right direction, which is into the pipes of the people in the area where you are. I could only hope that. Thanks for sharing with us, and hopefully you'll get some relief soon. Brass Dax, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, how are you?
I hanging in there, and you?
Man, you want to hang in there, man. You hang on. I did. Now, I want to talk about a few things. The few things are town planning. Sandy Lane. Religion. Do you remember the one Sandy Lane Road?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's right close to the sea, right next to the sea. Do you remember that, Dennis?
That the Sandy Lane Road used to run next to the sea?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right next to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say if you can get Sandy's pictures and have Sandy paper like then and now so the youngsters can see what used to be. So that we know a little bit more of our history. Because there were some other things too since I was born that changes have been made. I can't remember what they look like. I often wonder, that's like where the wonder boats are. Most of them used to be just a four cross. And I had mentioned when these things were about to be changed, you should take pictures of how they are now and when the changes are made. But
there are pictures of old Barbados. I can't tell you where all of them are. I have seen some of them online. I've seen some of them in books. The train line, the old train lines, pictures of trams running from Hastings Rocks. There's an elderly gentleman who used to live in Black Rock that said the road from, that we now call Highway 1, would run from Bats Rock, that road that goes down to the beach in Bats Rock, would actually run along the coastline and come through by Pyle Bay and continue into Bridgetown. I've never seen a picture of that, but I was told that it existed. But there's some the old pictures of the Fairchild Street before the bus stand was redone with the old buses through the years when they went from the Rockland buses to blue and red buses and the various buses we had over the years. They're pictures, some in private collections, as I said, some in books, some I've seen online. They exist. The problem, though, sir, is if you don't know they exist, if you don't know where they are, and if there's no program to introduce, as you say, a younger generation to them. If there's no interest, there's no interest.
What you just told me about the King Talon Highway one, me, I said, they don't have a clue what you're talking about.
I know that. Because we don't talk to old people. I just talk to old people. I just like to talk to people.
I remember the bus shed that I had there by the treasury and the buses. I'm out of the bus.
By the cenotaph, yeah.
Right, I remember that. Now, town planning. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, town planning was established mainly to deal with people's health and safety. I never knew about what I'm going to talk about that Mark Williams mentioned it on radio. The Flower Mill. That cement storage area. Why is it taking so long to have a judgment on that? I have said, and this is where my little common sense kicking, the Sahara Dust left Africa and come here. And only the Almighty can convince me that that cement is not going into our flower. When you clean a whole
so it blocked. They block up now. Huh? They block up now. Wasn't it blocked up?
Blocked up?
Wasn't it blocked up?
When you shut up your house and your car, is where all your cabinet is up.
Sir?
When you don't clean your car and sit that's the day next thing you go back?
Sir, because it was open, they don't get in and out. I ask you if they block up the sides, which is what the complaint was supposed to be about, that the sides were exposed and that the cement was exposed. Or the cement bags were exposed. They didn't close it up.
But I would like some tests to be done at all.
Well, let me ask you something. The sand, therefore, that piled up in front there are not covered. That ain't blowing about too.
Well, I don't remember the sand.
But it ain't blowing about too.
Thanks for mentioning that. I don't remember that.
But isn't it blowing about too?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, you mentioned it.
So, complain about that? Town planning is supposed to move that too or cover it. So the point I'm making is this, right? There are times when, because we focus on one thing rather than trying to cover the problem, it is easy to avoid the one thing you're trying to nail while missing the bigger picture. If you identify the wrong problem, the wrong thing will be solved. The problem that we had with the location of the place where the cement was being accumulated and stored was that the focus was the cement bag, the person involved in the cement, and everybody was driving at that, rather than looking at, do we have an environmental problem? Are we allowing things to be constructed without having the proper tests done, the proper environmental studies done, and was permission being granted when it shouldn't have been granted, or were people taking the law into their own hands and doing things before they get approval? If that was identified as the problem, and all the resources and energy went into that, you think we'd be talking this morning about spice in the pine? Or are we going to be talking about somebody's car fixing place in front of somebody's house with people cussing at midnight? Or will we be talking about that, sir? No, because we would have identified a problem with either permission being granted when it shouldn't or people doing things without permission. Sir, the problem I have is if you identify the wrong thing, you can't fix what's right. I am sorry. That's my feeling.
We got too much
of that going on here. Too much.
I thank you for what you just said. That's why I like calling you. My next thing now is religion. And I would like, say we have so many religious groups about the place, I would like at least two priests to call in and at least prove me wrong. I have said that there are some people, if you put a gun to their head, they're going to rebel. The others, if you put a knife to the throat, they're going to rebel. But once you have been able to get in a person's mind and convince that person that Daddy Johnson is David Ellis, then you have succeeded. The Bible, and I hear about context and all of that, but I read the Bible eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth and turn the next cheek. I hear in the Bible that a sheep is a very nice animal, and the goat has been portrayed as a demon. Now, when a sheep is saying it just here, there, and they, when a goat is in trouble, it can stand from all of the hospital and hurt. I would prefer to be the goat. So as the Bible is telling us to be like sheep, the way I interpret it, and this is my personal interpretation, they want us to be idiots. So that's a way of controlling us as a people. I am not saying they're no God, because there are things that no man that I know of can do, that I know of. I'm not saying they can't be done, but I don't know of any such person. But that is a way of controlling us, this thing, but turn the next sheet. How many cheeks do you have? So when you turn...
Until you run out of...
Huh?
Until you run out of cheeks to turn.
Exactly. So my solution is, like, you know, that is a bad enough person. Break off.
Give it a rest. Don't go there. Please, you were doing fine so far. Don't go there. All right? Have a good morning, sir. WhatsApp message says, Mr. Johnson, as they're addressing these big domino matches, please let the patrons know it's not nice to block the entrance of households. When you have these same patrons not to block the entrance, they have attitudes. Every week this happens, even before COVID. We adults blame the youth, but I think adults need to adhere to the laws of driving too. I called the police. They said it's against the law to block a person's entrance. As radio works, can you all advertise this too? No one under 16 drives a car. They want to play dominoes and watch their cars too. Thank you. Well, not only want to play dominoes and watch the cars, they also want to go to the ATM and watch the car, go to Cave Shepherd and watch the car. Then this is called what? Ted Roy Clark handed me a note saying, lost sheep was found in Fisher Pond, St. Thomas. Please call 245-1455 to collect, just as the caller was talking about sheep. This is a joke, right? All right, perhaps it's serious. Lost sheep was found in Fisher Pond, St. Thomas. Please call 245-1455 to collect. You all think I'm Mark Finger, right? Or something. All right, that's my laugh for the morning. Nicely done, John and Ted Roy Clark. I needed the release. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
There's a stretch of road between Hopewell and Holy Innocence Church
mm-hmm.
that was built back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it was the first piece of Barbara Green Road in Barbados. You may be surprised to know
it's still
that stretch of road in St. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
that stretch of road has never needed repair since it was done.
That's interesting.
With all the rain that we have been having now for the months of this year,
mm-hmm.
it is still standing strong from the 60s to today.
No, I think we need to do some investigation and find out, one, what kind of Barber Green was used, how thick it was, and what was the surface under that Barber Green, because that would perhaps help us to fix a lot of roads in Barbados. Because that stretch of road, St. Thomas is a place where it's rain every day. So
that's right.
So
I would like
that piece of road must have a lot of water on it regularly.
It's Ashford Long Road.
Yeah, I know Ashford Long Road. Yeah.
Right.
I knew what you were talking about when you identified it. I just didn't know it was standing that long.
Today roads are done in Barbados, and 3 weeks after they're done, their potholes.
Yeah.
I believe that the authorities need to go and check and see why this road is standing strong.
I agree with you.
And all the others that were put down. end up in potholes.
Yeah. Sir, I have to tell you that it is one of the most nerve-wracking things to drive on any road in Barbados after it rains, because holes appear where there were none before, and you're driving through water, so you can't see them until you're in them.
Yes.
And some of them are fairly deep and wide. You can't get around them. The other thing that worries me, I see it more and more now, perhaps, than I did 20 or 30 years ago, and it's this. Almost everyone seems to drive in the middle of the road and pull when they see a car coming, because they're afraid to drive close to the verge, because either the road is broken up or verges are no longer the way we used to have it. And by that I mean tapered off at the end, some of them with a curb or a drain, so the water had a place to run. So the sides of the road where, you know, the asphalt just meets grass and grass is growing in the road, people don't want to drive there. So they drive in the middle of the road or close to the middle until they see a car coming, and then they pull sideways. It's a dangerous way to drive. You go around the corner and there's a car coming at you in the middle of the road. And sometimes you have nowhere to pull because you ain't cut rock. Or, you know, you're against somebody's fence. Or the bush or the person's fence is hanging over the road. Those things make driving a hazard, and it's dangerous. And a lot of the accidents sometimes is because of, you know, cars either hydroplaning when it's wet, or the person pulled too late. Sometimes you can't explain head-on crashes, people running into people's walls, and then the cars that are sawed off that drive all over the road anyhow. It's a challenge, and that's with or without the rain. And now with the rain, yeah, I can tell you, I drove up Bay Street one day in sunshine, and then the rain fell, and I came back down Bay Street. I was wondering where I was driving, because I saw holes that weren't there when I drove up the road in the sunshine. So, yep, I think we need to find out what was done on that road.
Why that road is still standing.
Yep.
Trauma.
I would like to know. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hi.
There are about four or five issues I'd like to raise this morning. The first one. Last Monday morning in the 7:30 newscast, the Attorney General stated that during the period referred to as the lost decade, there was gun violence in Barbados. But what we are witnessing now, between 2018 and the present, is only an escalation of that violence. Now, I would like to find out from you, How comforted you are by this statement, and by extension, how comforted the citizens of Barbados should be by that statement?
I can't tell you how or what the citizens of Barbados should feel. Sir, I really don't listen to anything politicians say. So I am not comforted by statements made by politicians or holders of political office. I make my judgments based on what I see around me and what I hear around me, and I take the necessary action. When I hear gunshots in the night, it doesn't matter whether it's close to where I live or whether it sounds far off in the distance, I hear gunshots in the night. If I hear police sirens or ambulance sirens, whether they're close by or far away, I hear them. I do not listen to politicians. Full stop.
All right, next point.
Mm-hmm.
What are the differences between a same-sex union and a same-sex marriage?
So I wish I could give you an answer that would help you, because you keep raising it all the time. It's the same as a marriage between two people sanctified in church and a union between two people who either live together or pass by each other and go back by their mother to sleep in the night.
All right. Now, yesterday, the moderator was belaboring the point that if two consenting adults do anything in their home, once it isn't offending anybody, it shouldn't be anybody's business.
Mm-hmm.
You were the producer, eh?
I was not. I don't work on Mondays.
You were the... All right.
No, okay. I was not.
Okay. No. What I am saying to you, mm-hmm. if an adult in his home, an adult, he or she in her home, he or she in his or her home, rolls a marijuana spliff and smokes that, or if he snorts some cocaine,
mm-hmm.
are those two actions offending anybody apart from that adult?
Not if the people around them are affected by it, no.
So we should not be concerned about that?
Well, it depends on if you want to be concerned about it or not, sir. The question is, how would you know, and what would be your concern?
The point I'm making, okay, if mm-hmm. people are doing, could do whatsoever they like in their home,
mm-hmm.
once it's not offending anybody,
mm-hmm.
nobody should be concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the
you
point,
disagree with that?
The moderator was making yesterday.
You disagree with that?
You don't disagree with it?
Oh, okay. So, but you see, you and I had this conversation the last time you were on, right? I was trying to make a point to you.
We had the conversation about same-sex
marriages. I know. So that's the point I'm trying to make. Because the point I was trying to make to you then, and Alvin called afterwards and he didn't agree with the line I took, is this. If there is somebody living next door to you, or if you live next door to me, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you burn incense in your house, I don't know why you're burning incense, but you're burning incense. So I feel you burning incense because you're trying to camouflage the fact that you're doing something else. Unless it affects me, unless I pick up the phone and call the police and say, a man next door to me burning incense, I think you need to check into it. What you're doing there is your business. When it spreads to the wider community, when it causes concern in the neighborhood, when it becomes offensive to the people around you, then they can tell you something, whether it's raising sheep, fowl, smoking ganja, or doing anything else in your house. So you don't know people who drink in their house and get drunk and fall asleep sometimes with, you know, candle burning or stove on and burn down the whole place. But you didn't know that until it burned. So things just happen in people's house that we ain't know nothing about at all. Until, as they say, things come out.
Sorry. Next point.
Uh-huh.
The moderator was also saying uh-huh. that there are more serious issues in Barbados and the church is not marching against them or saying anything about them.
Mm.
But the church has turned to this marching against same-sex marriages or unions.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What is your take on that?
So churches will do what they want to do, just as I said about politicians. I don't pay attention to that. None at all.
All right, by the same token,
mm-hmm.
there are more serious issues in Barbados,
mm-hmm.
and yet the government intends to take time and money to have a referendum on whether we want same-sex marriages in Barbados.
Because you're talking about it, sir, because other people are talking about it, and because they're making it an issue. So if nobody in Barbados made an issue of same-sex marriages or same-sex unions, you think the government will do anything about it? Seriously? You think so?
But I'm not making an issue, but
sir,
sir,
I will repeat slowly so you get me. If no one in Barbados was making an issue of same-sex marriages or same-sex unions, you just raised it this morning. If you raised central bank deficit, if you raised lack of projects being started, if you raised the rising state of unemployment, if you raised the issue of our roads, if you raised the issue of our children in school, if you raised any of those issues other than the ones you raised, and if it was raised on a consistent basis by a number of people, don't you think the government would pay as much attention to it and hold a referendum on that too? On gun violence, on anything else? It is what people were making a fuss about and the government reacted to it.
Well, people are making a fuss about the gun violence.
They need to make more then.
But the government is doing anything about it.
They need to make more then.
Well, I just spoke to you about what...
Correct. But you also raise same-sex. Didn't you?
Finally, mm-hmm. Brass Tacks is supposed to be a calling program.
A talk show.
A talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you all tolerate all these WhatsAppers and all this stuff? You can't have a show for them. They want to be WhatsAppers. Why they don't pick up the phone and take an active part in the program?
Because
they're hiding behind their phones and all sort of things.
Sir, because one, some of them are not in Barbados. Two, some of them are supposedly sitting at work in government offices and private sector places where they can't pick up the phone and talk. And three, that's their choice. The people who call Brass Tacks, you will notice, right? Unless they identify themselves, and even sometimes when they identify themselves, I refer to them as sir and madam. I don't call their names, even if they give them, because they're supposed to be anonymous. And the people who send WhatsApp messages choose to send it there because we make it available to them to do it. There are people, and I agree with you, who hide behind numbers, and some people put their phone number and their name. Others just put a number, like VOB 95, VOB 100, VOB XYZ, because they choose to make those comments anonymously. They it's their choice. So, media has changed. Call-in radio, therefore, has changed with it. So that's why their emails, their WhatsApp messages, they're now Zoom. People join that way because they express themselves in various ways. They're Bajans who live outside of Barbados, in London, New York, Toronto, Montreal, who follow Brass Tacks on a daily basis. And they've asked this station in various ways to allow them to participate. They ask for 1-800 numbers. They ask for other things. So they use WhatsApp. They use Zoom and try to get in because they too want to talk about their issues. It's communication. That's what we do.
All right. Okay, then. Thanks,
sir. Always good hearing you, sir. Take care.